Blog Talk Radio.
Tickets are moving fast for the Daytona 500 on Sunday, February 21st, and it's your one chance to be a part of the biggest race in a generation. The all-new Daytona is 31 million pounds of steel, forged by racing's greatest legends in the heat of battle for the most coveted trophy in NASCAR, the 2016 Daytona 500. Now, forever. Seats at the all-new Daytona will sell out. Guarantee yours now at 1-800-PITSHOP or Daytona500.com.
Live from Talladega, you're in the pit stop with Tenda Spain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Hey folks, Timothy Peters, driver of the number 17 Red Horse Racing Toyota Tundra. You're listening to the Pit Stop with Tenda Spain.
Good evening from Dega Nation. I'm Tenda Spain alongside my good friend and CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. We got a big show tonight. We've got driver from BK Racing coming on in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, Mr. David Reagan. He'll come up at the bottom of the hour, but let's get everything going with our Reverend. I'm out there on the West Coast, Mr. Reverend Joe. Let's bring him and get the invocation in. Reverend Joe, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing good, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing good. Sorry about last weekend. We had some storms coming through, and Stephen done a great job filling in whenever we dropped.
I'm glad your guys didn't get messed up or blown away.
Yeah, I know Rowdy and them over there in Carbon Hill, they were dodging some tornadoes. Me and him were talking yesterday. But, yeah, all we're getting now is some cold weather, Reverend.
Well, we've been getting some warm weather. So, if you call 59 warm, that's what we've been getting the last couple of days. But it's not going to last long.
Yes, sir, I know. But, Reverend, you got your forward, the official Reverend of the Pit Stop, King of Spain, Stephen Wilson. Let's crank it up, there.
All right, Lord, we come before you today. We thank you for all you do for us. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for all that you have always done for us. We ask you this week as we get racing events started to please protect all our drivers, all our crew members, all our officials, all involved at the racetrack, protect all the fans. Be with everyone involved with auto racing in general. Give them safety while they travel to the track. Also be with all of our soldiers and their families all over the world. Bless them all, and God bless America. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Joe.
Thank you.
recap, always a great invocation. You want to let everybody know where they can follow you on social media and your website. You got the quote.
Yep, they can find me on Facebook. Just look up Reverend Joe. They can also email me at ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. And our website is ontrackwithjesus.org. Or give us a phone call if you have any questions. 951-232-7630. God bless you guys, and we'll talk to you next week.
God bless you too, Reverend. Thanks again for being our Reverend. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right. Take care.
Yes, sir. You too. That was our good friend and Reverend on the show. Stephen, we have a lot to talk about. I mean, you've had so many press releases come in, and I know coming up, we're not going to have time to get into everything about this new charter system that NASCAR has implemented with Rob Kaufman, and I know there's going to be a lot of pros and cons to it. A lot of people are going to like it. A lot of people are not going to like it. But we'll talk about it a little bit before we come up on the bottom of the hour. We've got David Brakenthal, driver of NASCAR Sprint Cup Series for BK Racing and Mr. Ron DeSign. But if you want to talk a little bit about it, Stephen, we'll go ahead and start. I know we've got Todd sitting here waiting. We might get some comments from him. But we'll just start right now, bud, and we'll try to see what we can get in and what we don't. We'll talk about it again after David has to leave.
Well, I think you got more people who don't like it than who actually even like this whole new charter system out there. That was announced earlier today in Charlotte with a combination of the team owners and NASCAR themselves putting this deal together. in essence, and I'm just going to run through this fairly quickly and just kind of give the meat and potatoes about this whole deal. For what most people, and just a little backstory on this whole deal, Rob Kaufman, the former owner of Michael Waltrip Racing, has last year put together a group of owners who started this Race Team Alliance to promote or to bring together the owners in the sport to bring down costs and to consolidate some different things within the sport. One of their first things that they did bring into consolidation is the travel aspect. Also, they looked at things such as healthcare, group healthcare in the sport, and some other ideas that could greatly reduce the cost across everything that the teams are currently paying out within individualized themselves. But Rob Kaufman last year said that the greater goal of the Race Team Alliance was to bring all the teams together and to give them more of a value within the sport themselves, and that it was really the ultimate goal is to really make sure that the teams have some kind of vested interest within the sport. And that was their ultimate goal with the Race Team Alliance. So the Race Team Alliance has been working for nearly a year with NASCAR, with the ownership group within multiple different teams to bring this deal to fruition. Earlier today, NASCAR and the team owners, Rob Kaufman, the Race Team Alliance, and others that put this deal together, did announce the charter system that will be in place starting in 2016 as we kick off Daytona Speed Weeks a little bit later on. This is a 9-year deal that will grant the 36 teams or 36 individualized cars, charters, in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. This is only the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. This is not the Camping World Truck Series, nor is this the Xfinity Series. There was no talk at this time, nor has there been any indications that this will expand. Maybe in the future this will, but as of right now, it is strictly focused on the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. Initially, NASCAR has issued 36 charters. You must have ran for the last three seasons, from 2013 to 2015, full time. The two teams that are not eligible or right now have charters for sale are the two Michael Waltrip Racing Team. Their charters are currently for sale, although Rob Kaufman did say earlier today that the number 19 and the number 41, there are pending sales on their two charters. So all 36 charters have been sold for the 2016 season. The charter system has been designed in such a way of historical importance to NASCAR. And they have designed it so that the oldest organization to the newest organization is how they determined who received the top of the 36 charters within NASCAR. However, the one team that has been in NASCAR the longest, the Wood Brothers Racing, is not eligible for a charter, even though that they are racing full-time this year in the 2016 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. And that is because that they have raced part-time over the last several handful of years. They can, in the future, if a charter does become available, they can purchase the charter. However, the initial charters, because they did not race full-time between 2013 and 2015, they were not eligible for an inaugural charter within NASCAR. So that's currently how this is set up within the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. The one other thing that the charter announcement has done, the charter announcement has reduced the field from 43 starting cars to 40 starting cars from this point on forward. The top 36 cars that have a charter from this point on will always be guaranteed a starting position in the field no matter what happens, leaving only four available spots in any given weekend. So that's how this all breaks down. There are some other little tidbits that go into this whole NASCAR Race Team Alliance charter system. The team owners also are having they also do get a little bit of decision-making process or get to have a little bit of decision-making part of the decision-making process with NASCAR going forward as part of this charter, digital marketing within NASCAR, as well as some other tidbits, business sides of things. The team owners themselves, the charter also grants them bits and pieces and allows them to run or be a part of those business ideas going forward. So that's really how this whole thing breaks down going forward in the Race Team Alliance, the new 2016 charter. Hope I've tried to at least answer all the questions.
Yeah, Ms. Steven, there's so much out there because they just announced it. But you know, like me and you text earlier there, in the press conference, they'd been talking about it for years, according to Brian France. But Stuart Haas Racing issued a statement today regarding the charter agreement. Following our statements from Stuart Haas Racing co-owners Tony Stewart and Gene Haas regarding the team owner charter agreement, which represents a new collaborative business model between NASCAR, team owners, and track. Tony Stewart said, quote, "Our sport is well positioned for growth and sustainability. With this new charter agreement, I'm very proud of the work the teams and NASCAR have put into the new system. As many people have worked tirelessly to secure the help of our sport, stronger communication, more team stability, and shared goals equal a better product that we can showcase to our fans week in and week out," unquote. And then Gene Haas also made a statement. You know, there was all kind of press releases coming out today from everywhere, tracks, teams, and everything. "This is an important day in the history of our sport. That will benefit all constituents immediately and in the long term. As someone who has heavily invested," talking about Gene, "in motorsports for many years, I'm very pleased with the industry's commitment to sustainability, collaboration, and long-term value." And Stephen, when I had a break this afternoon, I was sort of trying to look and try to read up on some of this stuff. I'm still trying to understand it. Maybe, you know, we can get into it or get somebody. Maybe David Reagan can help us understand it. But some teams get more charters than other teams. And, Stephen, have you heard how much a charter cost? And my second question is, I also heard the comment today on social media. I don't remember who it was from. It sort of brings NASCAR and the drivers closer together because some of the drivers claim NASCAR does not understand about a race car and they want to be in the middle.
Well, you know, Rob Kaufman did say earlier today, and this also, and I also talk to speak to Jay Robinson also at Premium Motorsports, who is also going to lease out one of his charters. They're already talking single digit million dollar charters. So we're talking between $1 and $9 million for a charter. And this is our first year with a charter system. You know, we've got Rob Coffin with a defunct race team, well, two defunct race teams that he's asking, and he didn't specifically state how much he was going to ask for his for each of his charters, but he said in the single digit million dollar range. So, you know, you can take that to assume that year one, these are going between $1 and $9 million. Jay Robinson is reportedly leasing his charter to H. Scott Motorsports in the single digit range also. Somebody did also report out there, and I'm not sure exactly how true this is just a rumor as to the cost, but that cost is reported in the $1.7 million range just for a lease. So if a lease has cost you $1.7 million, then I can only imagine how much it would cost to actually buy a charter at this point. You know, we've talked about what our barriers are to get into the Sprint Cup Series as it is. The barriers are very high, no matter who you are. We already know this. And, you know, adding this onto, you know, a charter would be required to even be able to race in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series unless you wanted to risk the fact of being one of four cars that would go to the track each and every weekend and hope to get into the race, which, you know, you've cut yourself very, very slim at this point. The other fact in this matter is that NASCAR would have to approve all transfers of charters. There is also an administration fee that NASCAR would be paid on top of the charter. That is paid to either the team owner or the transfer agent of the current charter holder. So NASCAR is also, you know, getting a part of this too. So if you've got a charter out there that's several million dollars, then there's also an administration fee going to NASCAR on top of this. So, you know, there's a lot of moving and working parts to this, and, you know, it makes the barrier to even get into the Sprint Cup much, much higher at this point. The innovation and even for new team owners that would even bother at this point or even going forward is almost next to none because, you know, you're looking at those kinds of numbers, $1.6, $1.7 million for a lease. You know, single-digit million dollars that Rob Kaufman is talking about for his two charters that are going to be number 19 and number 41. You know, we're talking a lot of money before you even buy a car and hit the racetrack.
Yeah. And see, let me read, if I can, Roush Fenway, owner Jack Roush issued a statement shortly after this was thrown out there. I've been in the sport for a long time and am thrilled at the unprecedented collaboration that we've seen in the last year between the teams, drivers, NASCAR, and the tracks. This system propels us into a new era by putting in place a structure that more closely resembles that of the other major professional sports. And, you know, we heard a lot about that on social media, too, you know, throwing baseball, football, and all that. While at the same time maintaining the characteristics of our unique history and tradition, I feel privileged to be part of this significant milestone in our sport and look forward to starting the 2016 season at the iconic Daytona International Speedway. And that was a statement from Jack Rouse. So, Stephen, basically what I'm just trying to pick your brain. Basically what we have, we're going to have 36 cars, and we're going to be guaranteed a spot, which them 36 cars with their primary title sponsor are going to love being and having a guaranteed spot. The other four are guaranteed a spot. If, say, I'm just throwing this out there as a scenario, something happens to a driver, like happened with Denny Hamlin, got a piece of metal in his eye or something like that, could Joe Gibbs actually, one of them four teams, if they wanted to buy or lease that charter for that race, could Joe Gibbs lease it to them?
I don't think so, because all charters have to be approved by NASCAR. My understanding is they have to go through the approval process and they have to be pre-approved. So if something were to happen on a race weekend, you know, there would not be that time to go through that approval process and to get any transfers done. you know, this is definitely a lot of working parts, a lot of moving pieces going forward at the same time. You know, NASCAR didn't specifically address that issue today. You know, they only addressed a small fraction of what maybe their thinking would be on that by basically saying that, you know, all leases, all transfers and usage of the charters have to be approved by them. So, without going and thinking too far ahead on an exact situation, I would think that they would refer back to their statements, you know, on an approval process before they would allow that to happen. And the other thing, too, would be, you know, there in this charter, there also is, you know, there are performance clauses within this charter that NASCAR can revoke these away from a team. If a team isn't performing up to standard, NASCAR can revoke these charters and give them to another team. So, you know, in cases like that, I don't think that a one-off, you know, something were to happen to Denny Hamlin or, you know, a situation this year with, you know, obviously with Tony Stewart or last year with Kyle Busch would warrant a removal of a charter. But, you know, there are performance clauses in there that, you know, I think they would look at those too, that if a team were to start saying, well, I'm just going to hand my charter over to somebody else this weekend because I don't want to do something, I think NASCAR would also start looking at that on a removal process themselves or the team owners that put this whole thing together. I think they would also looking at it too.
Yeah, that sounds good, Steve. And let's take a little quick break if we can and pay some bills, Stephen, and we'll come back on at the bottom of the hour with David Reagan. We'll get his take on everything and congratulate him on signing the Ron Devine and BK Racing up. You're live from Talladega, Alabama, the Pit Stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson. We'll be right back shortly.
I ain't rich, but I damn sure wanna be. Working like a dog all day ain't working for me. I wish I had a rich uncle that'd kick the bucket and I was sitting on a pile like Warren Buffett. I know everybody says money can't buy happiness, but it can buy me a boat. It can buy me a truck to pull it. It can buy me a Yeti 110 out there with some silver bullets. Yeah, and I know what they say, money can't buy everything. Well, maybe so, but it can buy me a boat. They call me redneck, white trash, and blue collar.
But I could change all that if I had a couple million dollars. I keep hearing that money is the root of all evil, and you can't fit a camel through the eye of a needle. I'm sure that's probably true, but it still sounds pretty cool, cause it could buy me a boat. You can buy me a truck to pull. You can buy me a Yeti 110 I sound with some silver bullets. Yeah, and I know what they say, money can't buy everything. Well, maybe so, but you can buy me a boat, a float down on the water with a beer. I hear the Powerball Lotto is sitting on $100 million. Well, that'll buy me a brand new boat. It could buy me a truck to pull it. It could buy me a Yeti 110 ass down with some silver bullets. Yeah, and I know what they say, money can't buy everything. Well, maybe so, but it can buy me a boat. But it can buy me a boat. Yeah, you can buy me a boat.
NASCAR returns to the historic Atlanta Motor Speedway for the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 weekend, February 26th through 28th. Be a part of history with Sunday grandstand seats starting at just $39, or save a bundle with good, better, best weekend packages.
Three, four, five cars crashing down the back
straight. And ask about the all-new perfect race weather guarantee. You'll only find it at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Call 877-9-AMS-TICKS or visit amsracetix.com today.
You're live back to Begging Nation. I'm Tim Spain, alongside my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. Stephen, we got a car coming back on track this weekend. Well, starting this week. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, we've got all these things off the truck on Friday to finally get some cars back on the track. It's been a long off-season, and there really is not an off-season for a lot of these guys. They leave out of Homestead, Miami, and you know, maybe get a couple days or week or two or something like that, but they go right back on to building these cars. And you know, the Ford camp, obviously this year they got a new design in the front and rear end, and they had to go and re-template a lot of these cars that they're going to bring to Daytona this year. So you know, there's just a lot of work that goes into really the 90 some odd off days that between Homestead and Daytona.
Yeah, right. And, you know, the ARCA cars, they're going to hit the track first. You know, our good friend Will, you know, he's going with a black car this year. I don't know if you've seen that, but Will's going with a black car. And I seen today, Steve, I think there's 50 entries trying to make this ARCA race at Daytona.
Yeah, there certainly is a lot of entries that are going to make it, or at least attempt to make this ARCA Lucas Oil 200 out there. They've also got a lot of changes on their side this year. Pretty much primarily everybody's going to go and move over to newer engines. They've got Continental this year with General Tire that they've partnered with to construct their tires throughout the season. And they're still working with Hoosier engineers that are really putting together their tire program throughout the year. But it's really a collaborative effort between Continental and Hoosier engineers to put this together for them. But they're going to kick their season off on Friday before the Sprint Unlimited later on in the night.
Yeah, and I got the time, and I think the TV and radio schedule I was going to read off toward the end of the show. But and then, you know, yeah. You mentioned the Sprint Unlimited. I don't know if you got it in front of you or not, but I think I seen when you put on your site the 24 car, and help me out here. I'm trying to think. I don't have nothing in front of me. With Jeff Gordon retiring and with Tony Stewart out, didn't NASCAR agree to let Casey Mears hit me up, and somebody else come on. They're not going to allow the 14 and 24, but they're going to allow the two teams to fill in for them too, and the Spinner Unlimited started out. Am I correct?
Well, with Tony Sterry being hurt this past week out on a little accident that he had out on the West Coast while vacationing, the number 14 car has withdrawn from the Sprint Unlimited this Saturday night at Daytona. And per the rule book, NASCAR has 17 in the number 14 spot. So Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and the number 17 will take over the number 14 spot because it has withdrawn from the event. Now, due to Jeff Gordon's retirement in 2015, the number 24 car and Chase Elliott is not eligible to run in this year's Sprint Unlimited because he did not drive the car and he is not eligible per any of the rules that are set forth. So, therefore, per the rule book, they have been also taken out of the event, and Casey Mears will enter the event in place of the number 24 car this Saturday night at Daytona.
Okay, yeah. Stephen, I've had a lot of people on social media ask me that exact question. Why is the car not eligible? But the way the rule book states, the driver is eligible, you know, from winning the past or, you know, however they qualified to get in the Sprint Unlimited to get in there. So it's not the car, it's the driver. Don't matter what car the driver gets in, what number or nothing, if that driver, he gets in the Sprint Unlimited at Daytona.
Correct. And based on the rules, the way for the 2016 Sprint Unlimited, it's based on the 2015 Coors Light Polo winners, which I'm just going to go through these very quickly. A.J. Allmendinger, Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch, Carl Edwards, Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, Jimmy Johnson, Casey Kane, Matt Kenseth, Brad Keselowski, Jeff Gordon, who is not eligible because of his retirement, and Joey Logano. So Jeff Gordon, because of his retirement, he is removed from the field. Former Sprint Unlimited winners are Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart, obviously, because of his accident, he's been removed from the field. Former Daytona 500 Coors Light pole winners, Greg Biffle, Austin Dillon, David Gillen, Danica Patrick, and Martin Truex Jr., 2015 Chase for the Sprint Cup drivers who are not eligible to any of the previous other roles, Clint Boyer, Jamie McMurray, Paul Menard, and Ryan Newman, and then Eric Almirola and Kyle Larson. Those are your drivers that are going to run in the Sprint Unlimited. It is based on the driver, not the car. So, obviously, with Tony Stewart and his injuries, the number 14 was had to withdraw from the event. So, NASCAR does go back and look at the rule book, and they have a set of rules outside of these which will replace drivers based on what their criteria is. Typically, it's set by driver points from the last driver in line. So Kyle Larson was the next last driver in line. They'll start looking after Kyle Larson, and they will implement who the next driver is in line. Tony Stewart and Jeff Gordon, those two obviously not in the event. So the next two drivers in line, part of the rule book, are the two drivers that get to enter the race.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that, David. And at this time, let's bring driver number 23, Dr. Pepper Toyota and NASCAR Sprint Cup Series for BK Racing, Mr. Ron Vine, David Reagan, and the pit stop, Tim Spain, and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
David, how are you doing tonight?
We're doing great. How are you guys doing this evening?
We're doing great. Trying to stay warm down here in Talladega, but I hope you're staying warm.
Oh, yeah, we're warm and headed down south in a couple of days to Daytona where the weather will be nice and usually catch a couple of cold days, the 10 days or so that we're down there for speed weeks. But for the most part, it's a nice time of the year to be in Florida, so we're ready to go.
Yeah, sounds good, David. Can't wait to get cars back on track. But want to congratulate you. Well, first, I want to ask you, did you have a great off season? Are you ready to get back on the track, or do you wish you had some more time off?
No, we really had a really good off season. We were very fortunate to have some time around the house and catch up on some things that I put off all year. I've got a little race shop in an office here in North Carolina, so worked around there. Spent a little bit of time in Georgia and South Carolina with my friends and family on my side and my wife's side of the family, and worked on our 2016 NASCAR program. So it was a busy off season, but we're ready to get back to the racetrack.
Yeah, we are too. We're ready to see the cars on track, David. And like I said, I know your time is very limited because you got y'all getting ready to go down there to Daytona and plan. But I have a couple of questions before I hand you over to Stephen. Can you talk a little bit about, with Michael Waltrip Racing closing the doors last year? How did this deal come about with Ron Devine and BK Racing? Had it been in the talks for a while, or did it just come about all of a sudden?
I've known Ron since they purchased the Red Bull assets back in 2011, getting ready for their, maiden voyage in 2012 when BK Racing was formed. So we've talked a little, had some dialogue over the years, obviously seen him around the garage. He's one of the driver owners that really hustles and is there at the racetrack a lot. You see him on Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, and so that's something that any driver would love to be a part of, a team where the drivers feel like their owners are equally passionate as they are. But, when Michael and the team decided they weren't going to field full-time cars in the top NASCAR divisions going forward, you start reaching out to a lot of different team owners and working on some sponsorship deals. It's kind of a three-part puzzle, the driver, the sponsor, and the owner, and all three of those collectively have to agree, and the money's got to be right, the team's got to be there. Obviously, the team owners have been busy working with the NASCAR group on the new charter system, so their plates have been full, but it just all came together. Timing was good. They bought some assets from MWR. They were a Toyota team. I got to know a lot of Toyota people driving for Joe Gibbs and MWR last season, so things came together nicely, and we were able to put together a deal to get ready to go race this season.
And again, we congratulate you, David. Glad you're going to still be in our sport. We love watching you. We love Ron Devine to death. Ron's a good friend of Suzanne and I. Just want to touch on a couple more, and I'll throw you over to Stephen. The new digital dashboard, have you had time to really mess with it, or is it going to be a obstacle, or do you think it's going to work out good for you, Dave?
It'll be different for sure. I was able to test with it a couple of times last year. I have not ran any competitive laps with it. I sat in a race car today for the first time and kind of got aware of the buttons and the different screens that are available. And, I think it's just going to be something that we get used to. Obviously, we've all driven different types of race cars that have had no gauges to a lot of different instrumentation in the dash. Certainly the guys that have had open wheel backgrounds have run with a lot of different configurations on the dashboard and things at the fingertips of the drivers. It's something that is interesting. It's neat. It shows advancement of technology in our sport. It's expensive. I know the team owners, every time you turn around, there's another expense that continues to drive the cost up, but this isn't a poor man's sport. So it's something that you from the race fan's perspective, that there's no performance difference. But I'm sure over time there will be some ways for fans and even the media to follow alongside with what we're seeing inside the car. And this is probably just the first step in that. But, yeah, it's going to be a little different to get adjusted to, but it'll be interesting, I'm sure.
And my final question, Dave, is you won the 2011 Coke Zero 400 at Daytona, which is a super speedway restrictor plate track. You also won the 2013 Ayers 499 here at my home track in Talladega, which I was there. Congratulations to David and David's show. Do you think you have an advantage far as the super speedways, and what is your take on the intermediate tracks, mile and a half, and short tracks? Looks like you got the super speedways figured out, Dave.
Well, sometimes I feel like I do. Sometimes I feel like I don't. It's a tough race to win at either one of those tracks. But absolutely, we'll have a good chance going to Daytona. It's a long race, 500-mile race in February. It's a tough race because so many things can go wrong, not only throughout the day on Sunday, but throughout the entire week. You've got qualifying, you've got the duels, you've got a lot of practice, and so the risk of tearing up your race car early in the week is certainly there. But 500 miles is a long day. Drafting, racing in the pack, making the right strategy calls on pit road. And so if we're in position at the end and we have a chance to make the right moves at the right times, I feel really good about our chances. But there's certainly a lot of laps that will be made between now and, you know, that final fuel run. So I'm very optimistic going into Daytona. It's a track that I know how to win at, and it would be great to get a Toyota, a Daytona 500 victory.
And again, David, thank you for taking time out to come on our show. Be safe. Good luck in Daytona. Suzanne and I, we will see you in it. We're going to Atlanta for Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500. We'll see you there. And again, thank you. And I'm going to hand you over to Steven.
We appreciate it. Looking forward to see you guys in Atlanta.
David, I appreciate you taking time to come on tonight. You know, BK Racing over the offseason, they have bought some of the equipment, and you guys got, I think, about 8 or 10 crew and engineers, as well as some other support from TRD and Toyota this year that have come on board as part of the MWR deal. Talk a little bit about, you know, just that assets that have come over to BK Racing and, you know, just your part of being with MWR and what you're now bringing over to BK Racing and moving forward with the team this year.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement surrounding the coming season for BK Racing. Obviously, Ron Devine and the ownership group have made a commitment to continue to get better in the sport. They've hired some good people. I feel like Matt Benedetto and myself returning, it's going to be a good pair to try to help develop the team and gain some consistency and competitive edge on and off the racetrack. So Doug Fritz, our CMO that's coming on board from ISC and NASCAR, is well respected in the industry. So there's several things that were taking place over the offseason that, at least on paper, really makes BK a lot more competitive going into the season. But every offseason you have that with a lot of teams change crew chiefs, makes adjustments, they sign additional sponsors, they leverage some more help from the sponsors and the manufacturers. So there's several teams that look better, and the competition always gets a little tighter and a little tighter each year. So I'm glad we've made some of those necessary changes and tweaks on our program to get better, and ultimately we'll see when the green flag flies for practice and qualifying and the race over the next few weeks. We'll see how we stack up with everyone.
And when you look most forward to 2016, obviously, you know, we had a huge announcement this year with the RTA, with the charter system, and BK Racing is going to be part of that this year, as well as a lot of other teams out there. And from a driver's aspect, and when you have to go out there, and how does that change your perspective going out there of racing, not only against the 35 other teams that are chartered out there, but when the racing aspect, and I know it's so new right now to even try and put your finger onto it or even try and, you know, maybe answer this question, but you know, it's been talked about for so long in the sport, but we're now at this point that we're going to have to, you know, we know what it is and how it is and what it's going to work. And Daytona is just a matter of just a couple of days. So, you know, once we start getting into this 2016 season with this whole charter system and the top, you know, 36 teams are now going to be locked into this, how does that change the way that you're going to now drive and compete against the other 35 drivers that are now locked in?
You know, I don't think it'll really change the way we race any, obviously. You know, over the years, NASCAR's had different systems that have locked certain cars in and certain certain fields have, you know, been had the top 35 rule that it went back on speed. And ultimately, I don't think that it's really going to change anything. It's one thing if we have had 60 cars showing up to all these races, but over really the course of my career, we've sent on average two or three cars home a week, and so I've been fortunate to drive full-time cars over the years where I really haven't had to worry about racing my way in or qualifying in on speed. But it's one of those things that from the big picture, from a bird's eye perspective, that the charter system allows the full-time teams that have been a part of the sport for a number of years on a full-time consistent basis. It gives owners some consistency and maybe their pay, the bonus plans for year-end money for ownership. It's great to have that tangible asset that if one day, you know, an owner gets a little older, decides that he's not going to continue fielding his team, that he can sell that asset to someone else. Or if someone else wants to come into our sport, they know that they can buy a charter, they can buy a team and start from day one and be guaranteed a spot to go race. So I think there's still a lot of questions that haven't been answered, and we'll certainly hear some of those, I'm sure, over the next few weeks. But, you know, all in all, I think the product that we see on the track won't change in any more of a business deal that will make the business of NASCAR make a lot more sense than what it has in the years past.
And my final question before we let you go out of here is, last year you got to go out there and race at Kentucky and at Darlington with the new downforce package, and this year we're going to bring it back for the full season out there. From your perspective out there, I think we look at those tracks and we have to say that from not only a fan's point of view that has really been saying that these cars for a long time needed a change out there, that those two races probably were some of the best racing from a fan's point of view, not only at the track, but from watching on television, were probably some of the best racing that they saw all season long. Touch a little bit on just those two races that we saw last year and what we can expect this year with the full season of that package that's going to be brought into Sprint Cup Series.
Yeah, I think that's a right direction that NASCAR is moving. Obviously, we tried one direction at Indianapolis and Michigan and another direction at Kentucky and Darlington, and I think that it's unanimous in the driver's point of view and even the fans that we want to see passing and good racing. And passing occurs when you have some cars that are faster than others and the cars move around enough where you can pass and you're less aero-dependent. And so to pull some downforce away, you still have a lot of horsepower. Goodyear can adjust the tires to where they fall off. So lap 10 of a run and lap 30, 40 of a run, that the tires lose grip and they lose speed. Different cars handle better at different points of that run, and you have passing, and that creates drama, creates excitement. When you have cars that are passing, you have something to watch, and so something to talk about on TV. So I think that's the direction. I think the NASCAR will continue to pull some of that downforce away because the teams are very smart. They're going to continue to gain that downforce back, which downforce is just free grip. It just makes the car feel better. It sticks to the racetrack more, and the race teams pay a lot of money to a lot of very smart individuals that work in the wind tunnels, that work on these bodies that make downforce. And so it's a moving target. NASCAR will always have to continue to tweak the rules some, but I think they're going in the right direction. The racing should be very good this year, and I think it's been really good the last few years. So it's something that they've got to continue to tweak on. And I'm sure in the years to come, there'll be some more change.
Well, David, I appreciate taking the time to come on here tonight. Good luck in 2016 with BK Racing. And before we let you go out of here, like we do with everybody else, we're going to give you the time to thank your sponsors, let everybody know how they can follow you on social media, and we'll let you get out of here. Again, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to come on here tonight.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys having us on. We'll be running the Dr. Pepper scheme number 23 at Daytona, and anything Dr. Pepper, BK Racing related, you can find bkracing.com, davidreagan.com, and come out to Daytona, Atlanta Motor Speedway, the second race of the season, my hometown track. So a lot of good tracks coming up. I appreciate you guys having us on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Thank you, guys.
All right, folks, that was David Reagan.
He had some good insights on everything, Steve. But he has a positive attitude, and I think he's going to be a good fit over there with Ron Devine at BK Racing.
Yeah, I think it is, and you know, that's why I kind of targeted, or you know, kind of steered the question towards, you know, a lot of him coming over from NWR, and the guys, you know, in the off season, I think they hired something like 8 or 10 engineers and crew guys that came along with him. They've got some equipment that they come along, some of the cars that he's going to be driving this year, as well as the TRD and Toyota manufacturer support has been bumped up this year over at BK Racing. So, over 2015, he really, once he got in that car over at Joe Gibbs Racing and Toyota, and he moved over to Michael Waltrip Racing, you know, he's been able to really work those relationships and been able to bring that over to BK Racing as far as 2016 is concerned. So I think he's going to be very successful in some of those that he's not just had to just move from one team to the next. He already has a lot of those relationships in place from working day to day already with some of those guys.
Yeah, I do too. And before we get out of here, we've got Todd waiting. Todd's on track. Yeah, Russell texted me a while ago. He texted me about something, and I said, what did he say? He wanted to ask you something. I said, Russell, I can't talk right now. We got David Reagan on. So Russell and David are big friends. For all of our listeners, Russell Branham is a former public relations director for Jeff Burton and public relations director at Todd Oak Super Speedway. But let's bring Todd into the pit stop for Kenneth Payne and Stephen Wilson. Todd, up there in upstate New York. Is it cold, bud?
Oh, we got cold, and we got minus 30s coming, and today we had some snow.
God, goodness, it's cold down here. Todd, sorry we just had time to bring you in. We had too much going on. Do you want to ask Stephen a question about this? I know you probably listened to him trying to explain this to you, RTA stuff, or maybe ask us about what David Reagan had to talk about. David, I think he's going to be a good fit over there at BK Racing with Ron Devine. You go ahead. You got the floor with me and Steve, whatever you want to talk about.
Well, first of all, with David going with BK Racing, I do follow BK Racing. From everything that I know of them, they're a great team. I think he should have a really great year. As far as this announcement goes, I mean, you're going to have people that like it and people who don't. And I'm one I always say, you know, I always wait until it plays out. David Reagan, he put it in a more perspective, like, for me to understand. And so that kind of made some sense for me. Now, like, for this year, So you guys are already aware, I already gave you guys heads up, as posted on my timeline, we are definitely doing 4 Xfinity races this year.
That's awesome, Todd. That's awesome. Man, you're also going to the, aren't you going to the ARCA race at Pocono?
Yep.
Okay, good.
So for 4 races, I'll be at each track for 4 days.
That's awesome, bud. That's awesome. Todd, do you want to ask Stephen anything about this RTA stuff? You know, just like we're just a little over 6, maybe 7 hours into the announcement, which, like Stephen said and like David Reagan said and like I've said, too, I don't really know that much about it right now until everything gets, which is already implemented. So everything gets out there and going to see how everything's going to go. But it's a charter system that Rob Coughlin has been working with NASCAR for a while and a former owner of Michael Waltrip, part owner of Michael Waltrip Racing, doing all this stuff. But, Todd, if you want to ask Stephen anything, you got the floor before we hit the top of the hour.
Now, Stephen, with these changes, do you think there's going to be any real big thing that anybody's really going to notice? Besides the new team coming out?
No. I mean, you're not going to see... You're not going to see many changes. Long story short, in this. 99% of this is more business related between the teams themselves and NASCAR in the way that they handle and conduct their business or how teams sell, trade, lease points as they have in the past. They're really the only difference that you're going to see is the on track, you know, instead of 43 cars, there's going to be 40 cars. And really just a change between the old top 35 and now it's top 36 are locked into the field no matter what. But from an on track fans perspective, you know, most of this is business related, as I said, between the teams themselves and NASCAR.
And like for them, everybody announcing this and stuff, this also kind of lets the fans know what kind of other stuff goes on besides just the NASCAR part.
Well, it does, and it doesn't. I think this opens it up just a little bit. I think a lot of fans that have followed the sport for some time knew how the sport worked or how some of this worked in general. Maybe not somebody that follows this daily or follows it on a consistent basis would understand how points were swapped out, or you go to Daytona and you may not make the race and you're swapping points around for the Daytona 500 to lock yourself into the race or something of that nature, you know, one of those extenuating circumstances. This might open this up just a little bit. I don't see much in the way of the conducting business out in the open just because the teams themselves don't really, you know, have had a, you know, in the past have really had a track record of doing so. Nor will I think they do so in the future. They've always been, you know, keeping very close to the chest how much drivers are paid, how much in sponsorship they get, things of that nature. And I really, you know, some of those things I don't think we're really going to see much of a change in. But, you know, we might see more of a change in openness with the fact of, you know, roles and, you know, the ongoing discussions of how things are going to move forward in the future with discussions of that nature. But the day-to-day business, I don't think much will change in that aspect.
And Tim, for you kind of being like sitting back, what do you think of this?
Well, I think this is, you know, I'm sort of like Steven. I want to sit back and watch and see what happens. You know, just like we said, we're only 6 or 7 hours into NASCAR implementing it. And just like Steven said, it's more of a business side deal between NASCAR and the drivers to actually meet in the middle to sort of say and, you know, talk about stuff. And the way I look at it, it could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. We're just going to have to wait and see. NASCAR is always wanting to keep up. Steven can tell you also, just like me and David talked about the new digital dashboard. They want to keep up with technology. And from what I've gathered and what I've read a few things since I've been, you know, sitting here on the show and everything, they want it to be like if a race team closes down, like MWR, and Steven, you can correct me if I mess up, please correct me. When that race team shuts down, the only thing that is really worth anything is the shop, the cars, the equipment, whatever they have. But now, if that race team shuts down and has a charter, Steven, help me out here, doesn't that make it worth a little bit more money?
Well, the points were always worth money in the past to begin with. As car, I mean, if you think about it, in the past, the car number always collected points. And if you were a top 35 in points, you could sell that top 35 and points off if you shut down the previous season and locked yourself into Daytona. If you think about Daytona in general, the average, you know, to start that race and to finish dead last is something in the neighborhood of $250,000 or $300,000. That's if you finish dead last in the race. So, you know, a lot of team owners, that's, you know, the points are one of the most valuable assets on the team. And if you think of a charter as nothing more than the points themselves, you know, that's where the analogy really comes in. Yes, the building's worth money. Yes, the equipment is worth money to some extent, depending on if NASCAR has made a wholesale change some way within the construction of the vehicle or a chassis change or, you know, whatever may happen if they've gone to a new gen or something of that nature. The chassis may not be worth any money for season A to season B. But, you know, your most valuable asset, I think, is, you know, either points or the charter itself. So I think that's the best analogy that you can really look at is the car numbers, points, or the car numbers charter passing from owner to owner A to owner B, as well as, you know, some of the other assets of the company passing along down the line.
Thank you for putting it in a professional mode, Stephen. My redneck voice was trying to go there, but thank you. That's what I wanted to say.
Thank you very much.
Todd, we appreciate you coming on, bud. And stay warm up there in Washington. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Okay.
All right, we'll see you, Todd. Be safe, bud. That was a good friend, Todd. Stephen, we've covered this RTA deal a lot. Any last thing you want to throw out there before we shut her down, bud?
Yes. We got to cover the most important thing of all. The Sprint Unlimited Saturday night.
Yeah. You go ahead.
Okay. Race season is upon us. 2016 Speed Week. The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series will return at Daytona for 75 laps in Sprint Unlimited. This is a non-points paying event to start the season off. This will be split into two segments. The competition caution at lap 25, separating each segment. So that will break this up. Excuse me. Now, the lineup for the Sprint Unlimited will take place on Friday afternoon in the Sprint Fan Zone outside of Daytona around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Each driver that is eligible for the Sprint Unlimited, and I'll go through this one more time, just very, very quickly. A.J. Allmendinger, Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch, Carl Edwards, Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, Jimmy Johnson, Casey Kane, Matt Kenseth, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Greg Biffle, Austin Dillon, David Gilley, Danica Patrick, Martin Truex Jr., Clint Bowyer, Jamie McMurray, Paul Menard, Ryan Newman, Eric Almirola, Kyle Larson, and the addition of, we're also going to have, Casey Mears and Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who will enter into the event. Green flag is set to fly at 8:15, 75 laps, 187.5 miles. As I said, this will be broke up into two segments after 25 laps of competition each. So there you go. First race of the season, Sprint Unlimited. Oh, and the ARCA Series race, Lucas Oil 200. Presented by General Tire, 80 laps, 200 miles, 4:15 at Daytona earlier in the afternoon. So there you go. Race season is upon us. NASCAR under the lights. And for all you people need to crawl out from underneath your rocks or whatever you've been doing for the last 90-some days, it's time to go racing again.
Let's get ready to rumble!
And, Stephen, just to touch on that a little bit, correct me if I'm wrong. I think the Lucas Oil 200 for the ARCA Racing Series presented by Menards. I think Fox Sports 1 has your TV. And after that, the Sprint Unlimited, Fox has your TV. MRN and Sirius XM has your radio. Am I correct?
That is correct. You got it.
All right, bud. Hey, thanks for calling in. Stephen, let everybody know if they can follow you on social media, but I'm a good friend. CEOSpeedwaydigest.com, Stephen Willis. You got the full, bud.
You follow us at Speedway Digest / Speedway Facebook.com/Speedway Digest, the SpeedwayDigest.com.
Steven, that sounds good, but tell AM and the boys we said hello. I'm gonna play a commercial and play a song, pay some bills, and we're going to sign off live from Vega Nation, Talladega, Alabama. Talk to you next Tuesday night, same time, 7 Central, 6 Eastern. Steven, y'all have a good night, bud. You too, Todd.
Tickets are moving fast for the Daytona 500 on Sunday, February 21st, and it's your one chance to be a part of the biggest race in a generation. The all-new Daytona is 31 million pounds of steel, forged by racing's greatest legends in the heat of battle for the most coveted trophy in NASCAR, the 2016 Daytona 500. Now, forever. Seats at the all-new Daytona will sell out. Guarantee yours now at 1-800-PITSHOP or Daytona500.com.